Welcome to this special Ignite Your Life series brought to you by Unity Online Radio. What would your life be like if you could live every moment with more energy, focus, and joy? Spiritual coaches Daryl and Ed, Carla McClellan, Reverend Paul John Roach, Janet Connor, Reverend Maggie Oman Shannon, and Reverend Paulette Pipe are ready to show you. So settle in, listen up, and get ready to ignite your life with renewed passion and purpose.
Thank you for joining me in this exploration and activation of the divine voice of love within. In the next hour, you will learn how to exit conscious mind and slip into the all-important theta brainwave state while writing, how to activate the divine voice of love through the magic of questions, and third, how to recognize the unique signature of your personal divine voice. It all sounds deep, and it is. Writing down your soul is a mystical practice, but it's also rather simple. The divine does not make this difficult. I'm Janet Connor, author of Writing Down Your Soul, How to Activate and Listen to the Extraordinary Voice Within, and its companion journal, My Soul Pages. Perhaps you've seen Writing Down Your Soul in Unity Magazine, Daily Word, Daily Om, Pathos, or other media. Or perhaps we've met. I've spoken at over 40 Unity churches from California to Massachusetts. My second book, The Lotus and the Lily, a mystical prosperity practice that returns us to the original teachings of Buddha and Jesus, came out in 2012. Its companion journal is My Life Pages, and the third book in the series of five mystical practices, Soul Vows, gathering the presence of the divine in you, through you, and as you, just came out April 2015. And I'm also the host of the Unity Online radio show, The Soul Directed Life. Everything I do, the radio show, the books, the courses, are all in support of one simple truth. There is a voice inside you, a divine voice of unconditional love and limitless wisdom, guidance, and grace. And everyone has direct and immediate access to that voice. You just need to know how to activate it. I was blessed to stumble upon how to activate this voice in deep soul writing while trying to survive a dangerous divorce. I've taught this process since then to tens of thousands of people. And now I'd like to teach you the basics so you too can begin a lifelong romance with your own divine voice of love. I'd like to begin by introducing you to that voice on the very first page of Writing Down Your Soul. There is a voice inside you. There is a voice inside everyone. Whether you hear it or not, the voice is there. Whether you acknowledge it or not, the voice is there. Whether you ask it for help or ignore its guidance, the voice is still there, waiting. It is waiting for you to stop, if just for a moment, and listen. The voice is always there, guiding you, encouraging you, loving you. This book is about connecting with that voice. I'll let you in on a sweet little secret right here on the very first page. Connecting with that voice is easy. And why shouldn't it be? The voice isn't trying to hide from you. It is seeking you. It knows the rich conversation that awaits you both. It knows what you need and longs to give it to you. So it stays close at hand, in your heart, your mind, your soul. The voice is right there, barely below the surface, waiting for you to pick up your pen and penetrate the thin wall of consciousness that keeps you apart. So, how can you penetrate that thin wall while writing? And writing down your soul is a writing process. So you may be wondering, how does this differ from journaling? Three things happen when you write at the soul level that do not happen when you journal. Number one, you exit conscious mind. Number two, you get to know yourself, your authentic, whole and holy self, your soul. And three, you activate a voice of infinite wisdom and intelligence and discover access to limitless guidance, comfort, beauty, grace. This is why thousands of people have purchased Writing Down Your Soul. It's all there in the subtitle, How to Activate and Listen to the Extraordinary Voice Within. But let's go back a moment and look at the first of these three things, because it's of the utmost importance. Exit conscious mind. Why do we want to exit conscious mind? Because your answers aren't in conscious mind. Think about it for just a second. If they were, you would have found them already, right? It's so obvious. But we miss it. We don't stop to consider that stewing over our problems in conscious mind not only doesn't solve them or access any new information, it leaves us even more worried and more stressed. Well, it's one thing to say, get out of conscious mind. It's another thing altogether to know how to do it. For many, it feels like an endless struggle to quiet the conscious mind, say in meditation or prayer. But I'm going to teach you 7 steps to get into theta, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how easily you can exit conscious mind. I just mentioned theta. Let me stop for a moment and talk briefly about brainwaves, because they are the explanation for what happens in deep soul writing and in all mystical practices. When you are worried or stressed or trying to multitask, you are in the beta, B-E-T-A, beta brainwave state, the fastest and the least efficient and least useful. I heard Jack Canfield years ago scream at an audience, "Stop using conscious mind to solve problems. Use it to make dinner." Well, it's true. Beta doesn't help you solve problems or change your life, but it is a very useful skill in the kitchen when you have a knife in your hands. As your brainwaves slow down a bit, they slip out of beta and into layers of alpha. Have you had the experience of focusing on something you're doing, a project perhaps, and looking up hours later shocked at how much time has gone by? You are in alpha. Some people call it the zone. You can do excellent work in alpha, but you don't yet have access to breakthrough thinking, new ideas, real creativity. That all happens in theta, T-H-E-T-A, the slowest brainwave before delta, which is sleep. In theta, you have access to what you and I call divine mind, universal mind, infinite intelligence, source, God, any and all names of the One. In this rare brainwave state, you have access to ideas and creativity that you know did not come from you. I called theta rare, not because it is, it isn't, but because we have made it rare. The truth is, we are designed to naturally experience the theta brainwave state at least twice a day. Falling asleep, as our brainwaves slow down from that ultra-fast beta slower and slower into alpha, and finally to theta, to slip at last into delta and a sweet night of sleep. And again, in the morning, as we slowly wake from delta, our brain waves gradually, gently speed up through theta, layers of alpha, and then, if we're stressed, jump into the beta brainwave state. Theta, although we spend so little time in it, is actually very familiar. As a child, up to 7 or 8 years old, you stayed in theta all day long. Remember yourself playing and imagining and making up characters and stories. This is the way we're designed. We are created to create. We are created by the Creator to be creative. But our educational and work systems are only interested in what can be produced and measured, what's logical, left brain, conscious mind, all products of beta, not the creativity and play of theta. So by the time we're adults, we have all conditioned ourselves to leap into beta the moment the alarm goes off, leaving all that gorgeous, juicy creativity, brilliant solutions on the pillow. Yet, we're desperate for those new ideas, aren't we? And the new solutions. And the good news is they are available in the theta brainwave state. So, the big question is, how can you exit conscious mind, meet yourself at the soul level, and activate that beautiful, wise, divine voice of love? In other words, how can you slip into theta with a pen in your hand? There are 7 simple steps that will transform your writing practice from journaling to deep soul writing. Whether you have an active journaling practice or not, perhaps you've never journaled at all, doesn't matter. These 7 steps will shift you from beta to alpha and into the sweet spot of the theta brainwave state. I'm going to go through the 7 steps, and you can follow along on your handout. The first essential beginning step is, 1, set your intention. We know this, of course, from our spiritual education, but in the last few decades, we've learned from quantum physics, the universe is run on intention. That's not just a spiritual principle, that's a scientific fact. The intention of an experimenter actually alters the outcome of the experiment. Well, you're both the experimenter and the experiment. So set your intention. Set your intention to go deep. Exit conscious mind and connect with your inner divine voice. You could do that perhaps by touching your third eye, visualizing white light, taking a deep breath, saying a short blessing. It's just a small moment, but don't skip this moment because it opens a divine door. Step 2. Address the voice on the page by name. With setting your attention to go deep and now addressing the voice by name, I don't know if you noticed it, but we left journaling far, far behind. The brain scientists tell us that when we journal, we are in the alpha brainwave state. And you can do lovely self-reflection in alpha, but to access that divine mind, we want to slip into theta. And calling the beloved by name tells your conscious mind, your beta mind, leaving you behind. In the course of your deep soul writing practice, you will receive a private, a personal, an intimate name, just like lovers have their special nicknames. But for now, use the name of the divine you love, or perhaps dear one, dear friend, dear beloved, dear guide, or just dear voice. But do address the voice by name. Using a name signals you are in dialogue with something within you that is greater than you, far, far greater than you. It's the paradox of the divine. The name, by the way, can change. For years, I wrote to Dear God, but this year, my salutation shifted to Beloved Vibration of Sophia. So don't feel any pressure to come up with the one, the only name. Number three, write by hand. It is possible to get into Theta on the computer, but it's not easy, and it's not easy to stay there. When you look at the screen, your eye cannot help but see spelling and other errors, and instantly it drags you back into conscious mind, judgmental mind. There are so many neurologically juicy things that happen when you write by hand. Here's just a couple of them. You're crossing the midline. You can't cross the midline on the computer. And when you cross the midline, you activate whole brain function. So take advantage of the way your brain is wired and write by hand. Now, if you think you don't like writing by hand, I ask you to just try it. It is the only way to feel the living presence of the divine moving in and through your hand and your pen. Now, if you can't hold a pen, perhaps because of rheumatoid arthritis, consider voice recognition software. It's also possible to talk both sides of the conversation. I do this all the time in the house and in the car. But begin with writing, if you can. So if you can feel what it's like to slip into Theta with a pen in your hand, you will begin to recognize the presence of your divine voice. Once you have that experience, I think you'll find you can slip into Theta many, many ways on and off the page. Number four on your handout is activate all five senses. Now, in Writing Down Your Soul, the book, you will read how I met Robert and Michelle Colt, who introduced me to Theta and even heightened mystical Theta. It was Michelle Colt who said something that stunned me. Writing is the most effective spiritual practice. I asked her why, and she said because it activates three senses. Vision and touch are obvious, but she also explained that surprisingly, all the parts of your brain responsible for hearing are activated and hear every word you write. So I thought, gee, if activating three is this powerful, I wonder what would happen if we could activate all five. Well, smell is our most powerful sense. In soul writing, remember, our intention is to exit conscious mind. Well, the sense of smell bypasses instantly conscious mind, the prefrontal cortex, mammalian brain, and takes us way back to our earliest lizard brain. We're actually wired to recognize over 25,000 smells. So use that astonishing human ability to activate the sense of smell when you write. You can do that by lighting a candle, perhaps, anointing your hands with essential oils, having fresh flowers in your writing space. Doesn't matter how you do it. Have fun with this, but do engage your powerful sense of smell. So that leaves taste. How can we activate taste while we're writing? I asked that question on the page, and Dear God reminded me that the Navajo have water at all healing ceremonies, and at the end of the ceremony, they drink the water, bringing all the blessings and all the prayers of the ceremony into the body at the cellular level. So deep soul writers keep pure water beside them as they write, and then, when they're finished, slowly and consciously drink the water, whispering aloud any guidance or blessing that came through on the page. In this way, think about it, you literally take your divine voice into your body at the cellular as well as the cellular level. Now, number five, ask lots and lots of open-ended questions. Have you noticed that change always begins with an inquiry? Always. Questions are the magic. They fly off the page to penetrate layers upon layers of wisdom in the universe. But there are questions that work, and there are questions that don't. There are four questions that lie flat on the page. And of course, don't you know, humanly, they're the ones we want to ask. Yes or no? Tell me if I should or shouldn't. Why me? Isn't that a favorite? When will this thing I want happen? And of course, everybody's favorite, questions about the other guy. Let me tell you what's wrong with him. When are we going to fix her? None of these will activate a response. Maybe you've noticed that. I think it's because we're meant to explore them ourselves and realize, oh, this is the wrong question, isn't it? But the good news is there are five categories of questions that absolutely activate divine dialogue. You can get sort of a mini PhD on those questions in Writing Down Your Soul, the book and the course. But for now, let me give you a brief introduction. A good place to begin is questions that help you become aware of what's happening right now. Questions like, what's in front of me? Where do I feel stuck? What am I feeling? Ooh, what feeling lies under that feeling? You keep exploring that and you'll get a sense of becoming aware of where you are. Then it seems we flow into questions that support understanding and meaning. Questions that help us connect the dots in our lives, like, how did I get here? How did I create this situation? What have I been telling myself about myself? That's a great question. A third category of questions that's truly glorious, explore the depths of the soul. Questions like, who am I? Who am I when I am completely me? And the jewel, the great question, what do I seek? The fourth category of questions helps you start creating a life that mirrors what you've discovered about yourself in the first three categories by helping you imagine and incubate. How can I create a life on the outside that looks like me on the inside? Or, if I loved myself as much as the voice loves me, what would my life look like? Finally, the fifth category, but please notice, it's the fifth, it's the last, not the first, where we typically place it, creating and manifesting. These are questions like, what is needed right now? What is in the gap between what I have and what I want, who I am and who I want to be? These kinds of deep soul inquiries will activate a long, rich dialogue with your beloved divine voice. And because that is the voice of love, you will feel safe saying anything and asking anything, and you can trust that the wisdom you receive is a gift of love for you. So number six is a little bit of a trick. Write fast. When we write quickly, we get ahead of those critical internal voices in our heads, and we can leap free of them out of conscious mind and into divine mind. Hold the pen loosely when you're writing very quickly. Don't grip. Gripping will slow you down and hurt your wrist. Let your handwriting just relax, even collapse. Don't worry about grammar, endings, punctuation. The good news is there is no high school English teacher on your shoulder. And if there is, knock her off. Write like you talk. We don't talk in sentences. We talk in little bursts and phrases. Write anything and everything that wants to come through. No editing, no judging, no scratching out, no going back, and no fixing anything. You will be surprised at the incredible difference between what happens when you write more slowly, more of a journaling style, reflecting on what you're writing as you go, and when you write full speed ahead in deep soul writing. So I recommend that anytime you feel a little stuck, ask an open-ended inquiry and pick up the speed. So look at number seven. Be grateful. Be grateful for this experience. Say thank you. Why? Because you were heard. You were held in love and heard in love. These seven steps are so essential that you'll find them at the front of both the journals, my soul pages and my life pages, and in the introduction to Lotus and Lily and Soul Vows. I also recorded a 45-minute teaching video on them at my website, JanetConnor.com. So now the second question is probably, how can I recognize my voice? Everyone asks me this question. So before I answer it, let me give you an example, a gorgeous example of how the voice sounds. There was a woman in Minneapolis in a Writing Down Your Soul telecourse, and she was very angry with herself because although she attended the classes, she wasn't writing every day. So she picked up a pen and threw her anger at herself onto the page in connection with Dear Universe. Why am I doing this again? When is this pattern ever going to end? She was writing so fast, so furiously that the voice had a chance to break past her conscious mind. And this is verbatim what came out on the page. Grant yourself an amnesty. Apply a peace treaty to your heart. You are no longer your own enemy. That is a perfect example of the voice because it's very personal. It's exactly what that woman needed in that moment while also being utterly universal. Didn't you hear it and go, oh, this is true. I must grant myself an amnesty, apply a peace treaty to my heart. I am no longer my own enemy. It's universal. And the voice is elegant. It sounds different from the way we speak. It's a little more formal. It uses vocabulary and sentence structure that we don't use. And it's also at the same time unconditionally warm and loving and wise. In the end, I think this is the clue. You know it didn't come from you. You know you couldn't have made that up. And it leaves you with this sense of peace in your heart. You don't know why, but you feel safe and loved. And it's unforgettable, isn't it? It's unforgettable. And you trust it. Now, some people also have physical clues on the page. Maybe they see a shift in their handwriting, the angle or the size. Maybe the pronoun shifts. They address the voice and the voice answers you. Some people even get a shift in the language. They speak in English and the voice answers in their native tongue. Spanish, Japanese, Vietnamese. When I've seen those journals, my heart has practically stopped. Some people also have physical clues in their body. They might feel a warmth in their heart, a tingle in their hands. For me, the unique physical clue is that the pen starts to kind of take off and I can't lift it off the page. There is no space between the words. Now, I've shared those markers of how you can recognize your unique voice for years. But then this year, I read Teresa of Avila. Listen to her markers in The Interior Castle, translation by Mirabai Starr. The first and truest sign is the power and authority the words bear. A voice comes from God when it leaves a quiet solitude in the soul. The words do not fade from memory. These messages may seem to be impossible, and our minds may balk, but the certainty inside the soul is unconditional. It often has to do with a future the soul never believed could or would happen. The imagination cannot just make up these things. And last, the truth that is conveyed to the soul on the wings of words simultaneously transcends all words. I'll never be able to explain this. It is an exquisite and subtle thing. Teresa. And she goes on to describe that when she is writing, the pen seems to take off on its own, and she doesn't even feel that she's the one doing the writing. I think Teresa was writing down her soul, don't you? It's such a sweet confirmation to us to discover that the woman that's considered the greatest saint, the greatest mystic, is a deep soul writer. So how will you recognize your voice? Over time, as you build your deep soul writing practice, you will begin to notice or feel or sense the presence. You will discern your voice on the page, and you will discern the difference of the divine voice. You will look at it, and you will know, and you will know that you know. That didn't come from me. It's a love relationship, and it's a love relationship that grows over time. And I think I can prove that. At my very first public talk for Writing Down Your Soul at Wings Bookstore in St. Petersburg, Florida, the room was packed, and I was ready, I hoped, to give a 15-20 minute talk answering the question, what is writing down your soul? Is it meditation? Is it journaling? That was the first one, of course. Is it journaling? No, it's not journaling. Is it meditation? Well, it gets you to exactly the same place as meditation, but no, because you don't quiet your monkey mind. You ask your monkey mind to come forward. What is going on? What are we feeling? What is happening? Is it prayer? That was the third question I wanted to explore, because of course it is divine dialogue. It is divine communion. So certainly this is prayer. But it's no prayer I've ever said. It's no prayer you've ever said. It's not a prayer from any of our traditions. It's a very unique and deep and personal prayer. So I reached the conclusion, this is a conversation between you and your source at the soul level. And I stopped. I thought that was pretty good. And I took a breath. And a man sitting right in front of me, maybe 40 years old, in blue jeans and a green polo shirt, raised his hand. So I nodded, and he said, I know what this is. Now I was stunned and not too happy. This was my very first public talk. The room was packed. And I have no idea who this guy is. He hadn't purchased any of my books. And what in the world was going to come out of his mouth? But I felt a little trapped. So I swallowed, took a breath, and said, yes. And he said in a clear, loud voice, this is a romance. I was so stunned that I almost fell over. It was as if the power, the truth of his words came at my heart as a little wave, a little breath. And I had to take a breath. And I remember I leaned forward, touched his right arm, and said, you're right. You're right. This is a romance. And I promise, from now on, whenever I teach Writing Down Your Soul, I will tell everyone, this is a romance. And then he said, you know, I don't know anything about this. I just came in to get a cup of coffee. And he got up and walked out with everyone in the room following him to the door. Do you know who that was? I think I do. I think I do. And I think hearing the story, perhaps you do too. But the most important thing isn't who that was, but the message. The truth is, writing down your soul is so much more than a writing process. It's so much more than journaling. It's so much more even than a spiritual practice. It is a mystical practice. Writing down your soul is an intimate, loving connection with the divine. It is a romance. It is the romance. And the voice gave me this welcome for you. It's on the first page of the journal, My Soul Pages. It is a welcome, I think, from the romance. It came through on my pages, but I know it's for you. Welcome, my beloved. I'm so glad we are here, hand in hand. From the beginning, I have been with you. I am always with you. And you, beloved, are always with me, whether you know it or not, feel my presence or not, see me or not, I am here. Where you walk, there I am. Where you sit, I am. Where you mourn, I am. When you write, I am inside the words. When you clap your hands in joy, I am that sound. What you seek, I am. What you love, I have always loved. And what I have always loved is you. Because you are in me, and I am in you. Tell me now, precious one, what is in our heart? Signed, The Voice. So begin. Simply begin. Set your intention. Pick up a pen. Address the voice by name. Follow those simple 7 steps and begin the conversation, the romance. You will discover that the conversation never ends. It doesn't just happen on the page. It continues on the pillow in the morning, this rich gift of the theta brainwave state. Lying in bed in the morning, I've heard the titles of all my books. I heard Your Soul Wants 5 Things, which turned out to be the entire focus of all my work. I heard the title of my radio show, The Soul Directed Life. I hear what I'm to write about in my newsletters. I even get downloads for other people. And without exception, when I send them an email saying, hey, I think this is for you, it is exactly what they needed in that moment. It's often the trigger that stimulates their next creative project. And the voice will be with you in your dreams. Your dreams are about to expand. The soul conversation happening in your dreams will go very deep as a result of your deep soul writing process. And I think you'll discover the voice will show up everywhere you go. A rich place is the shower. Everybody talks about taking downloads in the shower. I think it's because of the white noise, the silence. You cannot be distracted. There's no computer in the shower. This is where I've seen the covers of all my books. I highly recommend that you treat taking the shower as a holy, prayerful experience, and you will slip into the theta brainwave state. And the voice will come and speak to you in the car. Now, if you have other people in the car and you're talking to them, perhaps not. But when you're in the car, it's happened to many musicians. They suddenly hear the lyrics. They suddenly hear the tune. It certainly has happened to me. Essential phrases and ideas have come to me in the car. Simply say them out loud, maybe several times, and you will hold on to the idea until you get home and can get a piece of paper. You can also engage in this divine dialogue, not just in the car, but anytime, by speaking both sides of the conversation. You can set your attention and address the voice by name without a pen in your hand. I do this a lot. I have a lot of conversations in the house, in the kitchen, in the dining room, in my backyard, and for certain, in the car. The voice will simply show up. It loves you. It is seeking you, as that opening sentence in Writing Down Your Soul said, and it will show up at expected and unexpected moments. Why? Because once you ignite it, once you ignite your divine love, the romance never, never ends. Thank you for joining me in this swift, sweet, I hope loving introduction to the practice of writing down your soul. If you'd like to know more about Writing Down Your Soul and all the books in the Your Soul Wants Five Things series, the five mystical practices that address your soul's deep desire for five things. Number one, to connect with Source, what we just spoke about. Number two, to commit to values. That's my brand new book, Soul Vows. Number three, to serve a purpose. Don't we all feel that? Don't we all know that? What is my purpose? And that course is Soul Direction, and it will be the next book in the series. I'm writing it now. And the fourth thing your soul wants is to express its beauty. You've got to be a rich practitioner of theta to slip into discovering just how creative you are. And the fifth thing your soul wants is to create life, not have life create you, but actively using all your soul talents, create a truly beautiful and abundant life as the Buddha and Jesus taught. It's not the law of attraction. Oh no, it's the lotus and the lily. All that and more, and all the quote posters from the radio show, The Soul Directed Life. Thank you so much for joining me in this holy hour, igniting your divine love.
Funding for this special Unity Online Radio Ignite Your Life series is made possible by the support of donors like you. Please consider sharing a gift today at unityonlineradio.org/ignite. That's unityonlineradio.org/ignite. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this installment of Ignite Your Life. Catch the entire series here on Unity Online Radio. Fuel your mind, body, and spirit with inspiration from our life coaches, Daryl and Ed, Carla McClellan, Reverend Paul John Roach, Janet Connor, Reverend Maggie Oman Shannon, and Reverend Paulette Pipe, all on unityonlineradio.org/ignite.